It's Thursday and time again for Across the Aisle, our roundtable on Maine politics. In studio this week, Cynthia Dill, an attorney and columnist for the Portland Press-Herald, who served in the legislature as a Democrat, and former Republican lawmaker Meredith Strang Burgess of Burgess Advertising and Marketing. Dick Woodbury, an economist who served in Augusta as an independent, joined from his hotel in Boston. They spoke with Keith Shortall.
Cynthia, Dick, Meredith, happy Thursday. It's that special time of year when we look upon the latest campaign finance reports to see how the candidates for governor are faring on the fundraising front. First of all, Cynthia, remind us why this is important in this context.
Generally, fundraising is considered, a key indicator of support. So if there's a broad base of support, lots of donors that gave small amounts across the state or interest groups that represent, you know, a body of voices, it's an indicator of how much support the candidate has going into the race and the momentum and just the resources. And so it's really something that can be measured and is used to compare one candidate to the other.
And we're seeing three of the candidates at around the $1 million or above mark. How does that stack up?
Well, I think it's interesting that there are three that have about $1 million. Terry Hayes, of course, is the one clean election candidate, and so therefore her ability to raise more going forward is in question because of the challenges around clean election funding that I think we're going to talk about. The governor has refused to fund clean election funding. It's the subject of litigation. And so whether or not Terry Hayes is going to have additional funding is a question I'm sure her campaign has. However, I would note, of all the candidates, she has the most cash on hand. She has almost $500,000 to spend in the next couple of months. I mean, things are going to really get exciting after Labor Day. Janet Mills and Sean Moody, the Republican and the Democrat, are going to have outside groups funnel a lot of money into their race, and they're going to continue their fundraising. I think have much more opportunity and capacity to fundraise than Terry Hayes, and so it's going to be interesting from this point forward whether or not they stay similarly situated as they are now, or the two party candidates really break ahead.
Dick, Terry Hayes is the independent here, doing well in fundraising, as Cynthia mentioned. What does that say, if anything, about, I guess, the ability of independent candidates to raise money?
Well, she's obviously the clean election candidate. So in dollar terms, you know, most of it is coming from the clean election system. I will say, though, that the money that she got in seed money contributions before qualifying as a clean election candidate, and these are contributions that are limited to $100 per person. And she raised close to $100,000 that way, which is pretty impressive. So I think there's no question that we have four candidates who are all serious in purpose, figuring out their strategies. Certainly the complications with the clean election law have probably made Terry Hayes' campaign be a bit more cautious in not knowing exactly what they're going to have as this thing unfolds, whereas originally I'm sure they had a game plan assuming that there wouldn't be these complications. So she's in a bit the most uncertain position in terms of money. On the other hand, as the last two elections have shown, it's not only money that matters. And as we get closer and closer and people are paying close attention and there are debates and so forth, we'll see how it all plays out.
Meredith, what's your take? Is this all going to go to advertising, and is that going to be the decider?
I think Alan Caron, and we did chat about this a few weeks ago, that is the other independent candidate. He tried something a little different. So right after the primary election in June, we saw him step out with a good couple-week TV buy to introduce himself. I believe he spent about $230,000. It was an interesting strategy, and we'll see how that plays out.
As we've mentioned, there's just been this tug-of-war over releasing funding for clean candidates for reasons that have been discussed. But what is the end game here, then, for the Republicans who oppose clean election funding? Is it to, as some have suggested, to shake public confidence in the system and to disrupt it and ultimately to do away with it somehow?
That seems to be what their strategy is. It's mostly the House Republicans and the governor who are sort of taking a stand, if you will. This all stems from what happened at the end of last session to do with a mistake, a typo, as it's been called, in the funding. and with some claims that some people sort of knew that and were looking forward to this day to sort of put a wrench, if you will, into the delivery of funds. It's caused huge stress at these different campaign levels to try to figure it out. And I do believe that the Republicans clearly wanted to take a stand and say they really weren't in favor of using taxpayer money to support local campaigns.
Cynthia, is this just a statement about clean election funding, or is it trying to influence, do you think, the outcome of?
It's absolutely trying to influence not only the outcome of the election, but definitely chip away at the law itself. I mean, Democrats are somewhat guilty for chipping away at the clean election law by not supporting reforms that would do away with leadership PACs, because as it stands, even a publicly funded candidate can still benefit from private funds by these leadership PACs and other ways of private money to get into elections. So, the Democratic candidates using clean election funds knew with their, I think, eyes wide open going in that there would be challenges to it. When I hear Dick suggest that Terry Hayes maybe didn't expect this, I have to say that anyone who has been in government with the LePage administration should have known going into this legislative year that any obstacle the governor could put in the way of clean election financing and Medicaid expansion, he will. I mean, he is. So I absolutely do not think candidates who are now in a position really should be surprised at all.
Dick, for some of these candidates who are desperate to get money, in fact, there were a couple of Republican legislative candidates who asked the Ethics Commission just this week, hey, let us get around the restrictions and raise money privately if we're not going to get this money in time. Is that something that you think should be considered?
Well, I do. I mean, I think, you know, one of the really difficult boxes that clean election candidates are put in right now is that they can't get any funding for their campaigns from the Clean Elections Program, nor can they raise a penny privately. And as you become a candidate, you think you're going to be participating with a certain set of rules, and to have found themselves in this place is just terribly unfair. Now, I suspect, I mean, we're still far enough away from the actual election day that some kind of fairer solution will come out of either the courts or the legislature. So it's not desperate yet. We're still 100 days away, and the key time that money is needed is near the end. So hopefully at least some of these uncertainties will resolve themselves over the coming weeks.
That's Dick Woodbury, Cynthia Dill, and Meredith Strang Burgess. They spoke with Keith Shordahl.